Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, we are going to be going through the, we go through the bulletin, there are 9 lessons that are very important to this season that we are going through. And so pay attention to those as we experience each of them. Right after the service, we're going to have about a 2-minute congregational meeting. We need to elect some folks into some leadership positions. As we go through our service today, I would ask that just as God the Father had intended from ages before to send His own Son to tell us the truth, to live the life, and to show us the way, that God would do that afresh with each of us even now. So open your hearts today and say, Holy Spirit, just as You overshadowed Mary and brought about the birth of Christ, that You would overshadow us individually and as a congregation and bring about the new birth that You want for this congregation. Let's begin our service.
Please stand if you are able. And follow along in your bulletin. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come soon.
The glory of God shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Come, Lord Jesus. Come soon. Sing aloud, waste places of Jerusalem. Sing to the God who gives courage and strength. You who are unsure of what you believe, or whether you believe it at all, listen. You who are weighed down by thoughts of failure or feelings of grief, listen. You whose hearts are heavy, whose problems seem insurmountable, listen. Soon God's salvation will come. God's deliverance will be revealed. For a woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us.
In the Old Testament, the word joy is always associated with an act of God, and even more specifically, with an act of God delivering His people. The people of Israel found themselves in need of God's deliverance on more than one occasion. When they were enslaved in Egypt, God set them free. As they traveled to the Promised Land, God proved to the Israelites over and over again that He was far stronger and more powerful than the enemy nations who opposed them. When the nation of Israel was carried off into captivity by the Babylonians, again they cried out to God to rescue them, and God delivered them and brought them back to Jerusalem. Each time they were rescued, the Israelites were joyful and rejoiced in God's love for them. But each time they soon forgot God's deliverance and turned away from God.
In a cold and dirty stable in the small, unimportant town of Bethlehem, God again delivered His people. This time, however, it was not just for a time, not just until the next warring nation came across the river. This time, it was forever, for eternity. God sent his son to deliver his people, not just from enemies who threatened them, but from their sin that separated them from himself.
We can imagine the joy on the faces of the shepherds as they made their way to the stable. We can almost see the joy on the faces of the wise men who traveled great distances to find this new king. And we can feel the radiant joy of Simeon and Anna in the temple as they came face to face with the Savior of the world.
God sent himself to us to bring us life and never-ending joy. Today, as we celebrate Advent and think of joy, let's not forget. Let's remember and live each day in the knowledge and the understanding of what God has done for us. We are delivered. How can we not be joyful?
Please stand if you are able, and let us go to God in prayer. God, in this season suspended between hope and fulfillment, let us never forget what you have done. May we be overwhelmed by your mercy, which flows in wave after wave. May we be honest about the darkness within us, and perceptive of the light around us. May we make straight the path for the Lord, so that together we may see God's glory revealed. Please remain standing for O Come, All Ye Faithful.
begin our service of nine lessons and carols, here's a little background on this. This service had its origin at the Truro Cathedral in England on Christmas Eve 1880, when the Bishop of Truro, F.W. Benson, developed the service of scripture and readings incorporating carols. 38 years later, in 1918, this was adapted for the choir at King's College Chapel in Cambridge and broadcast on BBC and gained a lot of popularity. It comes out of the Anglican tradition. So that's one explanation. Another rumor was that it was developed to get the wives' husbands out of the bars on Christmas Eve. Not sure which one is the true fact, maybe the truth in both. So we're going to have some scripture readings starting from the fall of Adam through the birth of Jesus and into Epiphany. And interspersed between each of these scripture readings will be a carol or a song or a choral piece. I invite you to feel free to stand if it's a familiar carol, if you are able, and if you are led to do so, but to feel comfortable to not stand, it's okay if you're not comfortable doing that. And we're going to be doing a variety of things, so some choral pieces, some congregation carols and singing, and some with the band. Those are going to be a little bit loud, so just letting you know. So let us begin with the processional hymn, once in Royal David's City.
Please stand, if you are able, for the responsive prayer. You can follow along in your bulletin. The coming of our Lord is near, and we wait in joyful expectation. Draw close, Lord Jesus Christ. Shed your light. The coming of our Lord is near, and we wait with hope-filled hearts.
Draw close, God's beloved Son. Teach us the wonder of your all-embracing love.
The coming of our Lord is near, and we wait for God's redeeming presence.
Draw close to hear all creations. Our hearts ache for justice. Our minds long for holiness. Our spirits seek for unity.
The coming of the Lord is near, and we wait for the fulfillment of God's promises.
Draw close, grant power, and transform all things. Renew our world, restore your peace, display your righteousness.
The coming of our Lord is near, and we wait for God's light to shine over all the earth.
Draw close, hand-bearer, life-giver, love-sharer, shine through us.
The coming of our Lord is near, and we wait attentive to the signs of his coming.
A reading from the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those in living darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace.
Thank you. Our next reading comes to us from the book of Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And now the choir will sing, Savior of the Nations, Come.
The next reading comes from the book of Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old and ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then the greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace.
Thank you.
next reading is from the book of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Scripture reading is from Matthew 1:18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Our next reading comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Please stand as we all join together and sing "Angels We Have Heard on High."
may be seated. Matthew 2, 1 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard that this was, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they explained, "for this is what the prophet has written. For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, for soon you will find him. Report to me, so that when I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Joy. Unspeakable joy. Wow. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Susan. Great job. And last Sunday night, that concert, wow, thank you. What a deal. Thank you. I was speaking with, I don't know who it was this last week, and they greeted me and they said, happy holidays. You know, I'm tired of hearing that. These are not holidays for those of us who are followers of Jesus. These are holy days. They are. Now, we live in two kingdoms. We've mentioned that before. We live in the American kingdom. We live in a culture, North America. But we also live in a culture that is reflected in the scriptures. We live in these, we have feet in both worlds. We look at the paper and we are, we find even in the paper these days, there's a big issue out there about fake news. No kidding. They're even blaming fake news on, you know, affecting the election. And I understand Google is now going to come up with a system of trying to identify fake news in some of their publications. This, though, I'm holding the scriptures. There's no fake news here. We have, though, on Sunday morning, we don't hesitate to have the newspaper in one hand, but we have the Bible in the other hand, don't we? I'm looking at the headlines, and you can see them for yourself. And the headlines, I think, are designed to strike fear in a lot of us. And here's one that got me this morning. Future health care in doubt. Does that stimulate joy in you? Hardly. Folks, just by way of a very brief report, I want to say how proud I am of what you all are doing. For the last 4 weeks, we've been doing an experiment. We're always running experiments here, every single week. And we've had the specific experiment of holding a breakfast over here from 8 to 9:30, especially for the residents of the Heritage and the Plaza. And that has been a joyful experience. I've gotten acquainted with people that I never would have known. I've heard stories that are truly, truly remarkable. And I want to say thank you for being game to try these things. We also had a party, I understand, yesterday over at the Heritage. Rebecca has been leading both the breakfasts and the party yesterday. How many? You're shaking your head. Well, you were supposed to be in charge of those things. So how many people came to the party yesterday? 150? Incredible. And thank the Heritage Board for putting up the money for that. Thank you for doing that. You might remember, next week also, we've got on Christmas Sunday morning, we are going to be receiving a bunch of people into the membership. What a great day for them. They will never forget the Sunday that they came into this community of faith to become an official part of it. And by the way, if you're not a member and you would like to be, speak to me right after the service and we'll squeeze you in. Last week, my comments have to be, golly sakes, we're out of time already, aren't we? Well, there's good news. Jesus is going to be born next week. Okay? Let's just call it good, okay? Well, this will be the shortest sermon I've ever had. I hope you come Christmas Eve. You're going to hear one of the most incredible stories of your life. It's a true story. It should have qualified as one of the chapters in my book of Disaster Pastor. And then I hope you'll come next Sunday morning. We'll keep it brief. We'll keep it simple. But come, it's a holy day for those of us who are followers of Christ. The big deal for Zechariah last week was that his name means God remembers. And he really believed that God had forgotten him. And you remember that story. Today's lesson, and I'll cover more of it later on. We'll catch up on the lesson. Mary is someone else whom God remembered. And she makes the comment, God has remembered his lowly servant, the English says. The actual word is doulos, means slave. She considered herself a slave. Jesus considered himself a doulos also, a slave. And what happened to Mary is impossible. But the angel told Mary, nothing is impossible. Let me tell you some things that are impossible, but that God is able. It is impossible for you to come to a place where you believe and love and trust God. It is impossible, but God is able to do that in your life and mine. It is impossible for you to have your sins forgiven, but God is able. It is impossible for you and I to have the promise of eternal life in heaven, but God is able. It is impossible for this young girl, 12, 13, 14 years old, to bear a son without the partnership of a male. But God is able to do that. You and I wonder ourselves if God has forgotten. But God is able in your life and in mine to do the impossible. This is a season where we bring our doubts and our fears. And it's okay to acknowledge them. In fact, we should. But we need to be reminded that nothing is impossible with God. And we celebrate that in the birth of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We couldn't even talk to you. But you are able. We couldn't possibly experience your love. But God is able. We could not experience that joy of this season. But God is able. Lord, make us mindful of those things that are impossible. And Lord, we want to see you do the impossible. Because we believe and trust that you are able. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would the ushers please come forward for the offering? Let us bow our heads. We thank you, Father, for your steadfast love and mercy on us. Father, we believe that every word in the Bible was breathed out by you, and we believe your promise that you will bless us when we are obedient to your word. And so, without hesitation, we gladly give to you what is already yours. Bless these tithes and offering, Father. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Let's close our service and please stand. I want to give a blessing to you, and then I'm going to ask you to sit for about two more minutes while we do some business. Folks, we are entering into this holy week leading up to the birth of what we celebrate as the birth of Christ. There are things inside of your life and mine, perhaps that have been there for a long time, and we have maybe even given up hope that God will ever do anything or that they will ever change. But we are a persistent people who endure in the conviction that God is able, right? Say that with me. God is able. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power. That power, that mysterious power, that power that is at work in us, to him be honor and glory in this precious congregation and in his son Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Hey, the Lord is with you. Okay, have a seat. We'll get you out of here in about 2 minutes. This is a special called congregational meeting for the purpose of electing officers. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, thank you for these people who have volunteered to step forward to take on responsibilities. Now, Lord, through the voice and the confirmation of the people, anoint them and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Clerk, do we have a quorum here? Do we have a quorum here?
We have a quorum, sir.
Very good. And Chair of the Nominating Committee, would you present the names of the